Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 51 for October 2nd. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But if you listen to podcasts, I'm also posting the audio-only version of all episodes of the Time and Research shows onto Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and a bunch of other podcast directories. So be sure to search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days, about 60 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put together the list of what we're going to be talking about today, which you should be seeing on your screen now if you're watching live or watching the video. So we're going to get through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed the show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades, and he is here to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
All right. Hey, thanks, David. It's great to be back again. This is episode number 51, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So that means it's a year. We've been doing this a year.
Yeah, we've had to skip a few weeks, but it was late August that was the first one. So
yeah, that went fast, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been.
We've analyzed a few trades.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, great to be here. And we got a great panel lined up here, and I'm looking forward to hear the other experts offer their opinion. And so, why don't we have each panelist just take a minute or two and introduce yourself? Just your name, of course, your service, and your particular focus in the markets. And we will. I'll just go left to right on the lineup here. The icon on my screen, and we'll start with you, Jim. You're first on the screen.
Sure. I'm Jim Kenny. I provide the content to optionprofessor.com and Option Professor's educational firm on all the uses and the risks of option trading, and whether you're using them for income or hedging purposes or limited risk speculation. There's a lot to learn, a lot of different strategies, so that's what Option Professor has been doing for decades. And also, we have a weekly podcast that is an update on all the markets that I watch, which is pretty much all of them. And that's every Friday. So I'll talk about that at the end of the broadcast.
Okay, good to be here with you again, Jim. And Hema, it is good to be on this show with you. I think we've done another one. We did the crowd forecast, but first time together here on Analyze Your Trade.
Yes, Dean. Yes, that's where I met you. And hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. As Dean said, I'm Hema Reddy of HemaReddy.com. And I started off in futures. I provide a skinny on the mini daily ES and NQ futures research for day trading or swing trading, whatever your approach may be. And since then, I have built out with educational workshops. My background is fully in technical analysis through and through. So I'm a chartist, and I focus on methods that can be applied on any active market in any time frame. So while I started out in futures, I am well versed in stocks, FX, and other markets to apply these methods. So I look forward to moving through some charts today and hopefully finding some good setups.
All right, good to be here with you, and it'll be great to hear your perspective on these stock charts. And then finally, on the last icon on my screen, Christian.
How are we doing, Dean? So I'm very happy to be on the panel again. Great to be with you all you guys. I think I've been on the panel with a bunch of you guys before. So looks like we got a full house today. So super excited. A lot of charts to go through too, which I'm excited. I was just going over the list. Pretty cool stuff. So my background is I run the Tribeca Trade Group. We have an all-day trading room. We do a lot of trend trading. My bread and butter is really taking a top-down approach on the markets. And clearly what we've got going on in sectors today is some interesting stuff. So, it generally is interesting, but I think, right now and what we're seeing the last couple of days with small caps and so forth is pretty notable. So I'm happy to be on. Previously, I was a director at Bank of America Merrill Lynch in the ETF trading and Delta One space. And happy to be joining with you guys for today, and look forward to going over the charts.
All right. And I am Dean Jenkins, founder of FollowMeTrades.com. I run a live trading room in the mornings for an hour, right at the market open. Look for new trade setups, manage our existing trades. I have a stock pick advisory service where I share the trades that I'm taking in my own account. And then as we manage them through the life of the trade, I offer some trading courses as well. My focus, I love that term. I haven't heard that in a while. I'm a chartist, right? I like to focus on the reality of price movement. We pay attention to the background, what's going on, big decisions. decisions, big news coming out. But all my decisions are based on the reality of price action on a chart. And I use primarily a very simple, repeatable approach to Elliott Wave, just looking for big impulsive moves and corrections and then continuations. And I use Ichimoku Cloud to help try and clarify trend direction, support, resistance, trend change, things like that. So call it East meets West, Elliott Wave and Ichimoku Cloud. Looking for high-quality trade setups. You'll see me applying that as we go through these trades. And we got quite a list, and some of them are really interesting. There's a couple symbols I haven't heard of, and I'm always, that piques my interest. Because I just love finding that diamond in the rough, that stock you never heard of that's got a great setup and ends up being a home run. So let's kick it right off. Let's see how far we can get down this list. And we'll keep that same order. So it'll be Jim, Hema, Christian. And we will start off, Jim, with NVIDIA.
Yeah, NVIDIA, obviously a great company and a great great performer. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of the chart pattern of Facebook when it had some sobering news on their earnings, or at least it was viewed that way, went down to 240, and then it screamed up here to brand new highs up over 290. Now it's at 296. And, my personal feeling would be with this kind of rally, I would be neutral on it at best and possibly looking for a little bit of a dip. I'd also be, if I owned the stock, I would be looking at the covered calls to try to hedge myself, maybe even do a collar, take the premium and buy a put so you'd have parameters around yourself. The 200-day moving average is down at 243, so it's not usually overbought, but it is a little bit. And the volume seems to be drying up just a little bit, 10 million shares a day. Ballpark 50-day average, and it's 12 million and change on a 200-day basis. So prices have screamed up, volume's drying up a little bit, and the tech sector and all that seems to be quieting down a bit. So this might be something where a covered right might make some sense, and maybe a little bit of a pause to refresh might be happening right now.
A pause to refresh. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Hema, what you got here on NVIDIA?
Sure. Well, I'm going to take a moment to share my chart, if that's okay. I'm a chartist. Can't talk without a chart. Okay. So I think I've got it here now. You all should see my NVIDIA here weekly chart. All right. So clearly, just like Jim said, it's been steadily moving higher. Now, what's on the bottom here, I'll take a moment to describe because I'm going to refer to a lot in other picks. It's my indicator, the RSI power zones. Really, what this does is take the traditional overbought, oversold parameters and beef them up a little bit. So that's what you see with these pairs of green lines or zones and the pairs of the red. So the key thing here is that we're still improving on the RSI on the weekly chart. It's been choppy. And then when we bring it into the daily chart, which I've marked up as well, I have a very specific price and time forecast for you all. Now, forecast of mine is maybe just about as good or bad as a weather forecast. So I got to say that disclaimer warning again. This is just an opinion based on my years of analysis. It is not a fact. However, my very concise point of view for you for NVIDIA is upside target of 305. And if this cycle analysis that's in play persists, it should be reached by October 8th. Yeah, that would be Monday. So that would be a fast move higher. But if we don't get up to that target, still watch for October 8th to be a potential point for trend pause leading into consolidation, or even that dip that Jim sees coming, which I agree that, you know, this is not an area to enter long, but if you're long, you could still stay long. If you're very short term, your stops, in my view, should be at this September 28th high, no tighter than that. And you got a little bit of room to run here, but definitely not in a position for any new long setup.
All right. Very concise. Very nice. I like and incredibly specific.
That's horrible.
But a price and a date. Nice. Yeah. That's confident. All right, Christian, what do you think?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll second that as well. Well, you know, it's at a 52-week high, so it's broken out. And, so it's really done its job here. I think if you're in a trade, you just kind of have to manage along, take some profits as you hit the 52-week high is what I normally do, and then leave a runner on. Would I get, long up here? No, I don't think we're in a market to really chase. And I think if you look at this chart in NVIDIA, you can see that there's been plenty of opportunities. It's been pretty methodical. I know sometimes it's a little bit difficult because there's a lot of noise with this stock. There's always analysts that try to come out and say that the time is over for this stock. But really, it's been pretty methodical. Whenever it kind of gets to this downward channel, that's a place to kind of go long and then, set up for a swing. But I think if you've been doing that the last, couple weeks, you got what you were looking for. But I would not chase up here.
Methodical. That's a good term. I think you were the one who introduced Whippy as as well, right?
Oh, I've got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Digestion, that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. So I like methodical as a term for NVIDIA. So hopefully my chart is sharing while I'm talking. And it is, I use Dow theory as a part of my analysis. And, this is clearly in this uptrend since it began, very orderly set of higher highs, higher lows, higher highs, higher lows, all the way up. You can see the Ichimoku cloud here. It projected support areas where price came down to it and then continued up in the uptrend. It's been above, it stayed above the 200. So for this particular chart, it doesn't seem like the 200 is that meaningful of an indicator, but the Ichimoku cloud certainly is. And when I look at a chart, I look for order and some kind of predictability, because charts that are whippy are just swinging around. Very hard to predict, and particularly if they break through indicator support levels, resistance levels. And this one respects those levels. So, the indicator is saying the uptrend is continuing. I don't chase trends that are this mature. I agree with, two of the previous speakers. I think Jim said also wouldn't try to go long up here, right? This is rarefied air up here. And this is a very long, mature trend. You can see it's losing momentum even as the trend continues. So I would agree, if you're long, stay long. See how long it'll run. But I would not try to take a new entry here, right? It's just a mature trend. And again, looks like it's losing some energy. And I think there's some better opportunities to take new positions in. And love the chart, love the trend, love the company. Wouldn't take a new position in it at all. That's me. All right, next up is T. I believe that would be AT&T. Jim, AT&T.
I've been watching AT&T and thinking pretty much it's in a trading range of 30 to 35. So now we're up at 34. It's near the upper end of its trading range. It has not been doing that much price-wise, pretty much most of the year. It did break under 35, and then it created the new trading range of 35 and 30. This thing pays almost 6% on your money. So, if you want to hold on to something and get a heck of a nice dividend, this is not a bad place to be. Until it gets above 35, talk of 40 or 45 is certainly off the table. So it just seems to be kind of still in that trading range. 30 seems to be something of support, but it also has resistance right above. 200-day average is at 34.40 about. Volume is pretty flat across the board. So it's kind of a dead deal. But a dead deal that pays 6% is not such a bad deal. And the P ratio is only like 6. So you're certainly not overpaying for the price of the stock.
And that 6% yield must be a nice consolation for those that lost 30% of their share value. What do you think, Hema, of the chart here on AT&T?
Sure. Well, let me go back to sharing here. And I've got the daily chart up, if you guys can see now. White background, TradeStation charts. Yes?
Yep.
Okay. So I skipped over the weekly because this is pretty much just a recovery, as you can see, of a longer-term downtrend. Now, this latest recovery from the September 4th low, it took a little bit longer than I would expect it to. So that is good news for the recovery from July to possibly extend higher. But I think we're kind of at a consolidation area here where if you're not in a position, there's nothing really great to do. If you are long, then I would advise keeping your stops below the September 20th low. And your next upside target where you could take some or all of your position off, depending on where you're long from, is 34.76. Yes, that's very specific, but that's because, like I said, I'm pretty much stick to the charts and I use past levels as well as additional calculations to come up with my support and resistance. And looks like I'm echoing Jim a little bit, who said, unless this gets above $35, $40, et cetera, it's nothing to write home about. So that is the range that I see going on here. And one last thing to point out, down on the momentum indicator, notice that every recent high, so September 24th, August 21st, back to June 12th, all of them have the RSI capping at about the same level. The fact that we are now rallying back on momentum to that same overbought reading that keeps coinciding with the price high suggests to me that whatever this latest rally is higher is going to be short-lived. So the key resistance, 34.76, just a little bit more upside ahead, but still would be very cautious given the bigger picture, long-term downtrend.
Okay. Christian, AT&T.
Yeah, sure. And I'm actually using a weekly chart here, and because I just think it's important to kind of look at this one because it's been a lot of chop with AT&T. And I remember being on the panel probably a good month ago, and I think AT&T was on the list, and I said, no, I don't like it. I'm starting to warm up to it a little bit. And, you know, I think, first of all, the price, it's got to get on the weekly chart. This is the whole year's value area. So I think, just as said already, around the 34, for me, it's 34.54. That would trigger a buy signal as long as we get into that. And you can kind of see as well that we have an inverted head and shoulders possibly forming there. But I would not touch this thing until it triggers and until it gets above that level. Also, you could see that there's a 50-day moving average on the weekly chart as well. So I really like when I'm using value areas, when the moving averages coincide. I could tell you that a couple weeks ago, we have seen some longer dated positioning in AT&T, and I kind of looked at it funny and said, huh, that's interesting. Somebody really getting positioning for AT&T in leaps. But we have seen that action. And, you know, if you kind of look to see, so I know, you know, this has been an unloved stock for a while, but, you know, if you've seen what's happened in J&J recently, you know, these things can catch and momentum could catch there. But I would wait till, you know, bottom line, I would wait till we get above 34.54 for that to trigger. And I just set an alert on my trading system to possibly go along there.
All right. So it sounds like quite a bit of consensus, and I'm going to probably join that with, you know, different take on it. But first, so AT&T, cell phone wireless company. Show of hands, who loves their cell phone carriers? Probably no hands went up there, right? It's funny, everybody, it's like cable companies, right? The people you love to hate, and you end up choosing the cream of the crud, but nobody loves their carrier. And nobody's loved this stock for a while either. Which, I guess there's something interesting going on here. And it's been in this massive downtrend for the entire year. Again, you know, down from about $44 down to $30. And in that downtrend, although it's very volatile, you can see very clear lower low, lower high, lower low, lower high, all the way down, right? Clear pattern. And there's something different here at the bottom going on that hasn't happened in this entire downtrend. And that's a high, higher low, new high. That is the indication of a trend change going up. And we got positive momentum in the oscillator. But I see I got this red line drawn at this prior high in the downtrend, pretty significant resistance point. I think that's very similar price level that everybody else has pointed out. And this blue, these blue lines are the Fibonacci retracement zone from this down move. So if we have an up move, and it looks like we do, the target zone is between these two blue lines, 38.2 to 61.8 Fibonacci retracement. We've got to clear this red line. By the time we do, there's not a lot of meat left on the bone. You know, from 34, you know, it depends on your trade style and, you know, how long you like trends to be. You know, there may be, you know, $3 worth of profit in there. It's 10%. It's not bad, but that could be a very short, quick move, and you have to be pretty agile to get it. So that's my take on it. Don't know if I would take this long if it triggers on. I think there's some better ones, a little more orderly, but it's interesting. And it sounds like we're all pretty much in the same point. I didn't hear anybody say they would take it below this resistance area here. That's really, really evident. Next up is AMD. AMD. I used to work for Intel. I worked there 14 years. And of course, they were always the bad guys. And now anybody that bought them halfway through this year thinks they're the good guys. They're pretty happy. What do you think here, Jim? Advanced Micro Devices.
Yeah, I think today, obviously, they got hammered pretty good here, down almost 8% today. And I was kind of a believer that it was, last time I think we had a broadcast on this, that it was brought up. I thought that when it gets this far away from its moving average, which I say a lot, I don't want any part of it. And if I want to take a stab at something, I take a stab at a put. With regards to the 200-day, it was down to 15, and we were up at like 33 or something like this, and 34 a couple weeks ago. And so obviously, I don't want anything that's 20 bucks away, more than 100% away from the 200-day moving average. And so this kind of a thing, you know, has some danger of having a pullback. And today that danger kind of came to roost. It could go right back up again because it's in an uptrend. And obviously it's a company that has things going for it. But the short interest is 15% of the stock. Maybe that's why I got squeezed a little bit further than it should. And the semiconductor ETF, SMH, you know, has been going back and forth. If it breaks under 105, then I think you'll probably see AMD, you know, pull back significantly. So I would be kind of stand aside or neutral on this. And if I owned it, I'd probably be collaring it up a little bit.
Okay. And HEMA, AMD.
Yes, let me go ahead and share my charts again. Excuse me. All right, so you should see my weekly AMD chart with just two big old blue vertical lines in there. You may have noticed when I talked about NVIDIA that I had some lines too. So I keep those on there when I do market timing or forecasting, and it helps me know whether my information was useful or not. So a last key timing point I called for AMD were for these 2 weeks, and they were right when the breakout happened. So again, I don't have a crystal ball. Don't know if my timing work would produce similar results again, but the perspective from there is, yes, we had the run-up, and look at the momentum. All it did was get into this super overbought territory where a bull market should get overbought as for my RSI power zone. So I'm not surprised that there's a little bit of a consolidation or correction here. Now, looking at the daily chart, the pullback, again, with the RSI power zones, you can see it came from the two upper green lines and is now back to the two lower green lines. And I highly recommend that anybody who uses any indicators that you don't just follow the standard settings and definitions, that you look at that indicator relative to itself on that particular security. So again, and I'll just illustrate with the line here, we're back at levels where the RSI got oversold, not below 30, but got oversold for this stock. So I think there's actually a decent chance of it hanging out somewhere above the September 7th low. If it forms a higher swing low, you know, a daily bar, and then the next day's bar breaks above that prior day's high, that's just a typical swing low, then I think we have a good chance of retesting the high at 34.14. So if you're long, I think that this lower or this low at September 7th is a great place to keep your stop, somewhere below that, if you're still long in this current chop. But it is definitely a situation where it's working off overbought conditions. And again, looking for a possible swing low to form in here for a retest of the high.
All right, Christian, what you got?
Yeah, sure. And I'm actually interested to hear what you have to say about this one, because I know that you used to work at Intel, but it kind of seems like a zero-sum game that's going on right now with AMD and Intel, right? I mean, last week, I believe it was the CEO who came, who I don't know if it was a call that he was on, but he made some comments about how they're really going to step up their spending. And since then, if you go to the Intel chart, Intel has been on fire the last couple of days, although it did not close on the highs today. And AMD has been moving down. So it seems like for a while, AMD was eating Intel's lunch because they had the security problems. And I think a lot of companies were replacing Intel chips with AMD. AMD took off like a rocket. My opinion from a technical basis is it's lost the upside momentum. So where could it land at this point? I don't know, maybe down to the 50-day moving average on the daily chart. The other thing that I see on the hourly chart, if I go back, which, you know, sometimes kind of going in, you know, looking at the bigger picture helps, but sometimes even looking at, you know, since this move happened so quickly, I could almost see this thing go all the way down to $25. You know, doesn't mean it in a straight line, but, you know, considering that I think it's broke, it came back and it retested the bottom of value here on the 1 hour. I think this thing could go down to $25. Also, which I was just putting together the chart of the AMD and Intel, you know, kind of an interesting move here. And this is also seems to, you know, has broken that uptrend as well for now, if you just map out AMD and Intel. So Dean, interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, well, I hope I can say something interesting. you know, interesting to make the comparison between Intel and AMD. At the end of the day, I'm a chartist, right? I'm a technical trader. But, you know, there's always a backstory. So AMD, interesting here. I mentioned before that I really like using Dow theory and analyzing trends and trying to help look for evidence that they've changed. And, you know, again, real simple analysis here on AMD, this whole up move, right? You see a series of higher highs, higher lows, higher highs, higher lows. And this latest price action, it shifted. Right, we had a low, moved up, did not go above the previous high, put in a new low. That is a key signal for a trend change. And so actually, where could it go? I'm looking at, these were old analysis. We actually took that leg up, we cut that long on AMD. That's pretty nice. This is now all, this is very clear, simple Elliott Wave 3. And Christian, you said 25. This is actually projecting between 24 and 18. Again, it won't go straight down, but that is the current retracement prediction. And could happen. It's a little early, but that's a pretty clear shift in trend. It hasn't broke through the Ichimoku cloud. We still got positive momentum. So that would be a very aggressive short to try and take now. But that's pretty compelling evidence for AMD going short. You mentioned Intel announcing they were going to spend money. they just have an interim CEO. They don't have an approved full-time CEO yet. So it'd be interesting if they're going to commit to huge CapEx. They certainly have the money, right? They got the war chest to go spend. They could probably buy out AMD for cash. I'm not sure the market cap, but they could probably buy AMD if it were not for competitive problems. Who knows who's going to win in the strategic space and in in the market and all that kind of stuff. From a chart standpoint, AMD looks like a reasonable short to me, aggressive at this point, but maybe a candidate. And that's my take on it. ROP, I have never heard of this that I know of. I don't recognize the symbol. The Roper Tech. Yeah, I don't even know what they do, what sector they're in, what business they're in. Maybe you know, Jim, what do you got going on Roper?
Well, the industry is called Precision Products, and I looked into some of the big major movers in that industry, and I wasn't familiar with any of the companies. So this is a sector it would not be on my list here. But looking at it technically here, there's been a very big bull market going on, and it had a very nice run. The 200-day moving average comes in at around 281. So when you got way up there to 312, it was getting a little bit farther away, but nothing tremendous. The volume today was pretty much a little larger than normal, but in line. And again, the company's had a very big run. So, you've gone from last year, October, 248, all the way up to 312, and it looks like it's been going up for a while. So it's a $30 billion company, so it's decent size. And basically, they're making good money. So I would say that this is a good company. When you're this close to the 52-week high, it's kind of hard to start initiating positions. Like I say, it looks very good up here as far as the trend and as far as the profitability and all the rest of it. So it's got a lot of good things going for it. If you're in it, obviously it looks like a hold. And then, of course, if you think the board might get in trouble here in a short time, and if you want to sell some calls against it above the 320 area, if there's some premium up there to be had, that might not be a terrible idea to get some cash flow while this thing maybe meanders a little bit.
Okay. And Hema, Roper.
Yes. So just going off the chart here, I started with the weekly, which showed that there had been a big breakout after a lot of consolidation, and we kind of are remaining higher after that move. But when you look at this on the daily chart, it's just a big old sideways consolidation. But I will say this, when you look at the way the momentum's been behaving with the latest move down, if this latest move down from Monday's high puts in a new low below the September 20th low, but respects stays above this low at 290.91 from August 13th, then I think that might be a very nice short-term buy opportunity. Why? Because look at all the old highs that match up with this new low. So here was the new low that came in after the breakout, but that includes the old high from March 21st and the old high from February 2nd. So ideally, this would actually correspond if that price action I just described played out. If it came in with RSI posting a bullish divergence, which means while price made a lower low, RSI would make a higher low, that would actually be an even more low-risk setup to go along with a stop down in this, below 290 to give you some cushion with those old highs. And if that trade setup plays out, then it would be on a return, a target for a return to the old highs originally, but I actually calculated a target, which you can see is not much further out than the existing highs. But a specific target I calculated using price and momentum is 313.66. So to summarize, the setup is not ready just yet, but if we get that lower low, but we stay above the key support, a long opportunity might arise with the next upside target being 313.66.
All right. That's pretty cool. Pretty specific. And it looks, with the upper and lower boundaries you've drawn, the target and that low, it's almost like a pong from the 70s, right? It's just moving.
Exactly.
And if it's predictable like that, it could, you could get a win out of it, right? A modest win. What do you think, Christian? You going to play pong here with Roper?
Yeah, I like that. And I like the analysis that Hema did. And you know, I have a little bit different analysis, but I think we'll end up at the same place. So, yeah, I mean, I see it, you know, the earnings gap, you know, nice move up here. It gave a little bit of a baby swing up here once it kind of broke out. This was a name that I was following, stalled out here at 312. So if we kind of just zoom in here a little bit, you could see we're right at the cusp of, as I mentioned earlier, I like it when the moving averages line up with the value areas. And you got that in this case, the 50-day moving average lines up with the bottom of value. So if it gets above, call it 300, that would trigger a long to the previous high of 312. And that's the top, that's the exact top of value. So I would also call this maybe a baby swing, but I would let it trigger first above 300. Otherwise, no trade.
No trade. Okay. Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. It's a long mature trend. It is in that interesting channel. You probably could, you know, get a bounce. Like Hema said, if it comes down to that support level, you got signs of a reversal. You may get a quick long there. Not sure percentage wise for that kind of trade is what I'm looking for. But I think there's better. I got stuff on my radar screen that I like better than this at this moment. So we are 25 minutes in and we've gotten through four symbols. So why don't we switch to speed date mode and just look at the symbols. Maybe just give a thumbs up or thumbs down. Or if there's something really interesting you see, point it out. But otherwise, let's see if we can dial up the velocity and get through a few more symbols if that's okay with the rest of the panel. And let's jump on Apple first here. And speed date, first round, Jim, Apple, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumb sideways. It's a little bit overbought up here from the moving average of 186. And if the board has any trouble in the near term, maybe they would sell this thing off a little bit. Obviously, going into the holiday season, you got to feel great about Apple because with the new products they talked about last month, they're looking for sales to obviously take off. And I guess when they expand that screen, history says that people jump in and do some buying. So a little bit too extended for me right now in the environment that we're in. But on a pullback, this certainly would be something to pick up.
All right. Hema, Apple.
Yes. Big thumbs up. And I'm going to share my targets visually real quick. So basically, last week I put out a video about how I thought Apple was primed to resume higher. And it did. But the upside targets that I'm sharing, you can see on this weekly chart, I have a black background now. The next one is 234.11. These are specific projections based on GAN numbers, not Fibonacci. The next one after that, if we get above 234.11, is 238.46. And then the last one, where it's to the point where I didn't even calculate anything new yet, is 248.40. So those are my upside targets. And it's always important to say where my stop or support is. This to me is all in play while we stay above the lows from mid-August, the 213, 214 area.
Okay. And Christian.
Sure. Thumbs up as well. New 52-week high. You got a new fresh MACD crossover. I would ride it long until the earnings date. So you got a couple weeks. Like it. Long. Thumbs up.
All right. And I'm sideways with Jim. You know, it did put in a very, very minor high, but it's really sitting at the previous high. And for me, unless it breaks through that, I'm skeptical. And I wouldn't short it either. You know, they have a buyback program authorized that's more capital than most companies' market cap, so they can defend their stock pretty well. So I'm not going to fight against that. So I'm neutral on Apple at this moment. TLT. This is what, the 20-year?
Yeah. Yeah, rates have been rising, so this thing's been going down. And the idea here is maybe you could get a bounce out of here a little bit. If rates can't get above this 310 mark and we start getting softer numbers, you know, housing seems to be getting softer as far as I'm reading, and the cars don't look like they're flying off the shelves. And retail definitely looked like it turned around a little bit here today. So if the consumer's getting a little softer, you know, maybe this 310 area might be tough for the Fed to get through. And maybe this thing could have a bounce out of here with a stop under 116.
All right. Hema, TLT.
Sure. So right now I'm neutral, and I'm going to show you my weekly chart quick to explain why. So basically we're hanging out at that support around 116, and we're weak from the highs in the summer, but it's such a big platform there that unless we break below it, I think we could be sideways for a couple weeks, maybe even months here. But bigger picture, if we do, yes, see the rising rates and everything that Jim just said, just echoing in, no need to repeat the obvious here. Here is my downside target if all that plays out. And so I give a time, which is the week ending March 15th, 2019. And the downside price target was 109.34. This is not, you know, falling out of bed, straight line fall type of situation at all. But that's kind of the forecast. That's the magnet I'm looking at right now. Neutral until we break below 116.09.
Yeah. And that line you've drawn, that looks like reinforced concrete at this moment, right? Really hard to break through. If it does, it means something, but I'll take my turn now, right? I am totally neutral until it breaks up. What do you think, Christian?
Yeah, I think I'm neutral too, but watching it very closely, you can see from the bottom right of my screen, Bloomberg will allow you to see fund flows. Where money is actually going out or going in. And you could see these two big red bars. This TLT just had two big days of outflows. The other thing that I read was that the positioning, which kind of scares me because I am leaning bearish TLT, but neutral until it breaks that level that you guys are watching. But I read something that the 10-year short positioning in the 10-year, which I know TLT is a little bit longer duration, but is at record highs. So you have hedge funds really positioning short, you're looking for higher yield. So it should be interesting to see what happens. But that said, I'm watching the same level for as you guys are to for a short in TLT.
Awesome.
And the wage going up here at Amazon might have been a little bit of a negative for this. And they're saying that in the first quarter of next year, companies may start trying to raise prices. So if that inflation on wages or inflation on prices starts kicking in, then you probably bust to the downside.
All right. And if this trading gig doesn't work out, I may go over to we got an Amazon warehouse pretty close here. I may just go start schlepping boxes over there, man. They're going to start paying good money. Huh? Anyway, I couldn't help but get that in. Let's cherry pick a few of these symbols because there's a couple on the list I really want to make sure we get to. And the first is have we jumped to Kronos? That's a pretty hot sector, of course. CRON. Rumor is Tesla's going to buy them out, so Elon's got a steady supply there in the office. Doesn't have to go out to get refills. Just kidding. What do you think of Kronos, Jim?
I think a lot of these stocks are a little bit like Bitcoin, where you buy it and then you put money in there that you just, forget about, and hopefully you'll be like Rip Van Winkle, wake up, and everything will be really, really high. So bottom line is this company is obviously one of the more stable ones price-wise and does look like it has a reasonable chart pattern to it. So basically you put 10 bucks in there and as many 10 bucks as that you can forget about, and then hopefully this company can be part of the cannabis revolution.
All right, Ahima.
Yes. Yeah, so the daily chart here, which I'm pulling up, is very choppy, like a lot like a crypto, like Jim just said. But you can see here that I have drawn a really basic retracement Fibonacci, but using just the 50% GAN style. So if we keep trading below $10.50 here, I think that this support at 926 has a good chance of being tested. But big picture, even though it's very choppy and volatile, momentum's coming back to a potential support area. So if we get a swing low above this 950 area, then I could see a return back to at least like $13, I would say.
Okay. And Christian?
I'm not even going to go there with the chart. I will pass on this one. It's been running up on momentum, just like we saw, this year it's pot stocks. Last year it was blockchain companies. So while they've got the momentum, have a ball, but no opinion for me on this one.
Okay. And I'm showing my chart. It was a little more orderly earlier this year. We took in August, we took a long on Kronos at 714. I had a very specific target at $12 and we hit 12 and closed out that trade very close to that. It was a super nice home run. And since then it's come totally unglued. It's funny, you guys mentioned blockchain and crypto. I remember, late last year, early this year, you couldn't do a trading room or have a webinar where people were, what about crypto? What about blockchain? I haven't heard a whisper. Second half of the year, nobody's asked about crypto one time.
Isn't that amazing how quickly they go in and out like that? It's
got real quiet. Yeah. So pretty interesting on Kronos. Well, we got to look at Facebook, right? We can't do a webinar and not look at Facebook.
Facebook?
Yeah.
All right.
And we'll do GE next. So you have some.
Yeah, I had something on GE. With regards to Facebook, they just had another announcement where there was a breach or whatever. So there's a huge gap there between 190 and 200 and whatever. So there is that big, big gap up there. And one wonders if it'll ever get up there and do anything about it. But it's on the defensive. And clearly, it did break under 160 a little bit here. So is it possible to go down towards 150? It certainly is. And but do you know, people are you know, viewing their valuation as pretty darn reasonable down here. And if they can get out of this funk that they're in and hold this 150 area, you know, it might be worth a bite on the upside as far as that's concerned. So I guess if I had to do something with Facebook, if you get a little closer to the 150 and you want to take a stab and see if it'll take stay above 150, that might not be so bad. And see if that gap between 180, 190 and the 200 or whatever, if they can get anything going that would go into there. But these guys have got not good news hitting the tape. And so, you know, that's why the price is down.
Interesting. You know, my I got a 20-year-old son, and like my wife said, "Hey, I just posted something on Facebook. Did you see it?" And he looked at her like, "Why would I be looking at Facebook?"
Yeah.
Anyway, Hema, what do you think of the chart?
Yeah. Well, I can echo your comment there, Dean. I have siblings who are all a bunch in their 20s, and they think Facebook is for very old people, and they're like, "Why aren't you on Instagram?" Which is owned by Facebook, but that's, you know, not an issue to them. So, one thing I'll say is that I will echo actually what Jim said. I don't even need to show you my chart. I'm totally on the same page of it likely getting down to $150, but I will add that I think if it's going to do that, it should do it by mid-October, like October 15th, for there to be a chance for that to be a tradable low. So I have one of those little crosshair forecasts for about $150.50 for October 15th, always keeping in mind that we have these lower swing highs. So you got to watch the September 27th high and make sure that's staying intact to follow that short-term downside forecast.
Yeah. Okay. Christian?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing here. It's been making, since it had that horrible earnings report, it's been making lower highs as well. And every time you could actually, the 20-day moving average is what I have on my charts, which is this blue line, which has been acting like pretty good resistance, even though it snuck its head above here, but then had an ugly candle here. So I think it's kind of dead for now until it has earnings, right? So it's going to have earnings in a couple weeks and we'll see what they say. But I would not touch this thing here. I think it's been, every time it makes one of those little peaks, it gets sold off pretty hard. So you do have that support back here. Maybe that's where it lands going into earnings. But I see no reason to own this. If you're looking at the FANG stocks, this is my least liked, I've unfriended it, least liked. Sorry.
That was good.
Thank you. Thanks. But I really think they're going to have to change the trend on their earnings. That's going to be the make or break. If they have another crappy earnings, I could see that support of 149 being taken out. If they have a good, so I think it's really going to depend on what they do there, and you know, could be a name to maybe play for earnings, because I think it's going to be make or break for them.
And Mark could lose another $20 billion and still be incredibly wealthy.
Right.
Okay. Hey, let's look at GE. That'll be fun. Jim.
Yeah, GE had the good news because they got rid of the one guy, brought in the new one, and the new gentleman supposedly be quite the wizard with putting these companies back together like Humpty Dumpty. And so basically it's time to maybe make a bet. And the bet would be that over the next year and a half or so, this thing will start looking rosier, and all these people that have been out or short, you know, they may come back and see value if this guy can shuffle the deck chairs around a little bit and make the thing look a little bit better. So the way I would play this thing is I'd go out for a long-term option out 2020, and I'd look to put up a buck or two or a buck and a half, and then I would like to see this thing have a total different change in temperature, not unlike Macy's or somebody like that, where, you know, we're all saying Macy's is going to go belly up, and the next thing you know, it's back at 35 or 40. This thing looks like it's all belly up, but they have made changes, and the guy they brought in is definitely supposed to be the cat's meow. So if you want to make a bet, you go out to limited risk, out to January of 2020, you take a shot with a buck, buck and a half, and then if you're right and it bounces back to where this thing collapsed down from in January up near 20, you got a pretty reasonable risk reward.
Okay. Hema?
Yeah, so on GE, this is the first time today that I'm like totally, totally neutral. Only thing I'll say is I'll keep an eye on resistance at $13.40. If it gets there and closes above that on a daily basis for two successive days, then I will revisit the chart. Until then, I have no more to say.
Okay. Well said.
Okay.
Christian.
Yeah, sure. I'll take a stab at GE. No position yet, but it's on the radar. I've been looking at it now the last couple of days. You know, maybe if it gets above 1290, that also coincides with getting above the 50-day moving average. I think if it gets out of this bearish channel, it's got a chance. But you know, remember, I think after a big downtrend like this, what I generally look for is not such like a snapback, but I think this thing has to base for a while. And I think that's what I would be looking for GE is for a base for a little bit for it to stop going down rather than just a knee-jerk reaction to the upside.
One other thing I noticed, there's not much short interest in the stock. So if you're looking for a big short covering rally, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. And the volume has been tremendous lately because it was drying up. The 50-day volume was only 61 million shares a day. And today alone, it went 146 million shares. So there's been a lot of action down here. So obviously people are definitely changing their tune a little bit with the new guy coming on board.
Yeah, and I was looking at the short ratio to see if there was a short squeeze setup, but there's not. The short ratio is only 2%. 2% of the float is short. That's really, really small. So that's not going to drive a short covering rally. And so I've been watching this, waiting for a breakout, and never got it. It just continues to put in lows. You know, this one day on news is not enough to get me in. It would have to be, I was with Hema, you know, new high, break out of the channel, and see it sustain a little bit to get excited about it. So I'm neutral on GE as well. All right. Well, we got about 8 or 9 minutes left. I don't think anybody's been a screaming, go trade this thing tomorrow at the open yet, but why don't we go around the table and see what you do like. You know, if there's a setup you're willing to share that you do like at the moment, this would be a good time for that. So Jim, what do you got?
There's three things that kind of hit me here lately and today on one of them. Two of them today. Biotech like Celgene looks like it might have some legs, and I've been kind of keen on that for a little bit. And on the oil sector, Chevron looks like it might be getting some legs as well. Anadarko Petroleum, you know, in the lower 60s look very good, and that's been going pretty good. So biotech and oil, you know, it seems like they might have a trend going on there that might be worthwhile. And on the short-term basis, you know, like I say, the retail looked like it got a little weird today, rolling over a bit. And I'm looking at Ross Stores. I got up to about 100. Moving averages down at 84. Today was down pretty good. And so that might have some more room to roll over a bit. Metal stocks, you know, if we're going to see, you know, more people raise the minimum wage, and if we're going to see companies next year with the tariffs and all that stuff start raising prices to offset some of their problems there, then you could start seeing the inflation thing kick in a little bit. You could see those rates go way up, and you could also see the metals make a little bit of a turn. So I've been kind of sniffing around looking at the GGs, the Gold Corps, and looking at the GDX. I'm trying to see if there's a legitimate turn happening here. And on a short-term basis, it's popped pretty good. I just was wondering if it might have a little bit more leg. So I'm looking at those things right now.
All right. Very good. Very good. And I think the metals are interesting too. We're watching super close. I think it may be a little early, but I'm watching. All right. Hema, what do you like?
Well, I'm going to actually circle back to the tickers that were submitted by our listeners, because there were a couple where I did my little chart homework and I didn't get to share the results yet. So I want to make sure I shout these out. So Just a couple of tickers here. First, Johnson & Johnson, J&J. This was, I guess, in the top 15 of requests. I've got an upside target. It actually is a nice entry that came in a couple of days ago, holding old highs, new support. So the upside target is $147.17. And the time that should be reached would be October 16th. So one of my, again, crosshair kind of target calculations. And then on NTES, this is not quite a sell setup just yet. Like, I wouldn't pull the trigger right now, but it's priming to be. And so on NTES, if it takes out the 215, 216 area, it closes below those prices, then that would be breaking a sharp up trend line. And based on price and momentum, I have a downside target. It doesn't have a time factor to it, but a downside swing target of $166.63. So again, assuming it would take several weeks or months to get there. And then similarly on AVGO, I see kind of similar to NTES. It's getting ready maybe for a nice little sell, but it's not quite there yet. For AVGO, if we break below Friday's low, which was 243 $23.85 and close below it, then my next downside target would be $229.77. So now I feel complete as a chartist because I shared the markups on my chart.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that. And Christian, what do you got? What do you like?
Well, I like a couple of the ideas that were already mentioned. So that's pretty cool. That means that I must be doing my homework pretty good, because APC and J&J are two names that are on my list as well. I'm going to take a stab at something a little bit different here. And we were talking about this before we went live, but you know, something completely different right now is GDX, the gold miners, right? And I think that the metals were mentioned a little bit here, but there's a lot of put selling that was happening today. And a lot of call buying today. So you could kind of see the positioning that was happening here in options, a little bit all over the place, a little bit of short-term momentum stuff, but some positioning out in December. So what does this look like technically? The GDX ETF, you know, kind of looks like it's also just like I was talking about AT&T, a little bit of an inverted head and shoulders that's happening here. So it still has work to do. It's got to get above that neckline, which I would say the 50-day moving average, but I'm not opposed to going long. I haven't done that in a long time in GDX, but I think it's getting interesting. I think the J&J is also compelling here. I think if you want to get, you know, I've also kind of avoided the energy space for a while, but I really like this chart in APC. I got full disclosure. I got long APC yesterday in options, and I'm looking at a 73 target in APC. Just two other ones, which I think has got a beautiful breakout going on right now, is Boeing. You can see I've got a couple trend lines drawn in here. So, you know, it is a little bit extended here. It's actually overbought here on the RSI, but look at the base that this thing has been kind of hammering out here for the last year. And it looks like it's got more to go, in my opinion, in Boeing. The last thing, and you know, considering that I think that we're seeing rotations all over the place and a lot of coils, right? Look at the coil. You know, if you're looking for a short, I hate to say it, but the FANG stocks, this is my FANG stock proxy. This is FDN. This is the internet ETF. Look at the coiling going on between the 520 and 50-day moving average, and it's starting to resolve itself to the downside. If this continues to go, and it does, if it doesn't stay above 140, I would target this 132 VPOC down here, which coincides with the 200-day moving average. So sorry, but I think, you know, all in all, if that happens, if the FANG stocks really break down and break down before earnings, you know, they could end up being a nice, opportunity for the fourth quarter. But I think right now they might be setting up for a short.
Very cool. Very interesting. So people watching should sit up straight, pick up your pen, and be ready to write this down. Three analysts on this panel have picked APC independently. And it's really interesting, Christian, you said you went long yesterday. So did I. So in my trading room, my pick service, we called out APC long yesterday. Super interesting that we both had that. And Jim also is on his radar. I've got a target of 76.22. And so we're trading that. We're long, and we think that's a really high probability trade setup. So that's looking super good. In the tech sector, there's one that's kind of bucking the trend, and it's got a really nice uptrend going. That's Agilent. And we're long Agilent. We've been long. Got in at 68.25. We got a target of 74.59, and it is on its way, looking super good. And we are short, and there is still time to get into this one, I believe. Short Bank of America. Of all the financials, this one had the clearest setup. We got short at 30.12. We're looking for 27.91, and it's marching down there like a soldier. So that looks good for a short, Bank of America. All right. Well, hey, we're just about out of time. Let's go ahead and do a quick wrap. And this is where we'll go around the panel one more time. And if you just have any closing thoughts. And
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Dean, I think you cut out there for a second. okay. Yeah. Hima, if you'd like to go ahead and do your closing statement.
Sure. Thanks, David. I'm just going to go ahead and show you guys if you found what I had to share intriguing, interesting, maybe somewhat funny, and you want to learn more about my work, you can go grab my free ebook on the way I use the RSI. It's called The Winning RSI Playbook. And for you guys, it's especially at hemaready.com/analyze, like analyze your trade. And that will be available for a limited time, so make sure you grab it soon. Otherwise, it will redirect you to something else. So thanks for listening. Good luck out there. And remember to always manage your risk and be ready for the market to do anything.
All right, great. Thank you, Hima. And Christian, if you'd like to do yours. Christian, are you there? Oh, it looks like you're muted.
I'm here. Sorry. Yeah, absolutely. And just again, a quick thank you. Really enjoy being on the panel with everybody and going over the charts. And I'm at TribecaTradeGroup.com. You can join. We have an all-day trading room where we discuss trade ideas and charts and that sort of thing. And then, you know, we also actually just put together an option scanner, and you saw me using it before, called Option X. So if you just like purely option flow, which I incorporate into my strategies, that's there for you as well at TribecaTradeGroup.com. Thanks. Thanks again. I appreciate being on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Christian. And Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody. We had a great time, I think, today. A couple of things I didn't mention that I thought might be interesting is that two of the lead dogs that we had during the run-up in the last month or two was the Dow Jones Transports and the Russell. And both of those look like they're trying to roll over a bit. And if they start accelerating to the downside and you start seeing the VIX, which is around 12, jump above 13, 14, we're going to be probably going from where we may get a correction to where we are going to be in a correction. So I would be a little bit keeping an eye on those things, because I think when the leaders start rolling over, sometimes that's not the greatest sign. So keep an eye on your transports and your Russell. And I do keep you abreast of everything that I watch every Friday. So if you do want to take a look at or listen to the podcast, just go to optionprofessor@gmail.com, option, O-P-T-I-O-N, and then singular professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com, excuse me, at gmail.com. Shoot an email over and we'll get you the link so you can take advantage of the podcast that comes out every Friday. Until next time, I want to wish everybody a good trading, and thanks a lot, Dean, for moderating today.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Good to be back with you. And again, I'm Dean Jenkins, followmetrades.com. Here's my homepage here. And of course, I run a stock and option pick service. If you want to learn more about that, there's a link to it out. If you want to hear my weekly analysis on the market, you can sign up for a free newsletter. Beyond the Noise is a weekly market analysis newsletter I do, and that's again free. You can go check that out. I'd love to have you join and see what we got going on. All right. Well, hey, thanks, David, for pulling it all together. And it was great to be back again, and back to you to wrap it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Great show. And just want to remind everyone to be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows and the full notes on each show. Both shows will be off next week because the 365 event will be going on. So if you're not familiar with that, be sure to, I'll have some information about that on Timing Research soon. So you can check that out. It's a really good event that is quarterly and has a lot of good information. Are any of you presenting on Wealth 365 this time? Okay. All right. Just want to thank my guests again for this week. Dean Jenkins of followmetrades.com, Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Hima Reddy of HimaReddy.com, and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.